Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
How many exclamation points did I put on the text last night when it was announced by the Green Bay Packers?
Seven.
That Rich Bisaccia was stepping down.
Oh, limit does not exist.
Right. It was like, guys! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Rich Bisaccia, special teams, and was it associate head coach?
Associate.
Assistant head coach? What is the difference between associate and assistant?
Assistant head coach just seems weird. So it's usually going to be the associate head coach.
Assistant sounds like... Right on top of that, Rose.
Yeah.
That like assistant?
Yeah, the assistant to the head coach. Yeah, kind of like George Costanza was the assistant to the traveling secretary.
It's usually a protection mechanism. Why are you protecting him?
I think they just put that title on him to kind of help justify the money. And he was helping out. I think it was, again, just responsibilities that he had.
Rich Bisaccia. Yeah, go ahead, Chu.
Usually you put it on so the only job he could take would be head coach.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything else would be a lateral move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But, I mean, LaFleur's not a guy like McCarthy where he's blocking anybody. If somebody wants to go, LaFleur's giving them the opportunity to go interview other places, even if it is a lateral move.
And if he wants someone to go, he just brings them back if they have nowhere to go.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes.
Fair.
Sometimes. Yeah. It's happened.
So,
at least attempted to happen.
The Packers put out an announcement last night that Rich Bisaccia is, in fact, stepping down. Very interesting, if for no other reason than the timing of it, right, guys? Because the coaching carousel, it's been swinging. It's been spinning, and people have been getting fired and getting hired. And, well, now we're several weeks removed from it. I mean, hell, the combine is next week. And I know that the Packers don't love the combine, you know, put a ton of attention towards the
combine. Well, the coaching staff, at least.
I mean, the scouts go and Gutekunst goes, but, you know, sort of that's the next step in the calendar of the NFL. And now the Green Bay Packers are without a special teams coordinator / associate head coach. Now, I don't know if whoever the replacement is, there we go, sentence structure, will also be the associate head coach. But I do think this is cause for concern. I know that people want to celebrate this morning. I get it. I see the tweets. I see the messages. I see the texts that come in on the Carbless Talking text line. People don't like Bisaccia. And on some level, that's fair. Because Gabe, 4 straight years of below average special teams is not a great endorsement of the special teams coordinator.
Sure. But again, I guess I just don't care who the special teams coordinator is. I don't. Because, I mean, how many more years do we got to go through this? Like, everyone before Rich was bad. So what did they do? They went out and got the most respected special teams coordinator they could when they hired Rich. So you tell me what's more likely. The team that struggled since basically 2014 with special teams just doesn't care about special teams? Or the guy who's been a coordinator since 2002, a special teams coordinator since 2002 in this league, is highly respected across the league. He suddenly forgot how to coach? Or the Packers don't really care about special teams? What seems more likely?
Hold on. Highly respected or highly liked?
Highly respected. He is respected across the league, too. Like,
because
when I've done some
liked.
Of the stuff. No, I mean, he's highly respected across the league. There's a reason the Packers paid him $3 million to come here, because he was looked at as one of the premier special teams coordinators in this league. And look, I mean, the ones that the Packers care about, we talked about this throughout the course of the season. The Packers seemingly only cared about coverage units. They didn't really care about return units. And the Packers and the special teams rankings that Bill Huber has in his in a piece over at Sports Illustrated, the Packers were 4th in punts, and they were 11th in kickoff coverage. But everything else is what dragged them down. The opponent punt, the kick returns, or excuse me, the kickoff, yeah, them returning punts, them returning kicks, that's what dragged them down, plus a couple of missed kicks that were not opportune for Brandon McManus, which I think we all agree
is not Rich Bisaccia's fault.
That's not on Rich.
No.
So those are the three things that dragged him down, and I don't think they care about those returns.
But he can't take credit for the punting because the punting was very good.
You're
saying if you can't blame him for McManus's issues, you also can't give him credit
I'm not saying Whelan being a good punter, but the coverage unit, certainly.
That's
like,
coaching.
I don't care about Whelan how far he can kick it. Yes, that's 100% not a Rich, but the coverage units themselves were pretty good. So go ahead. Everybody can celebrate today. I feel like it's going to be more of the same because they literally went out the last time they hired a coordinator and got the best one they could, made him the highest paid coordinator that they could. But unless Gutekunst and company kind of changed the way they approach special teams, it's going to be more of the same next year.
I'm not celebrating. I'm just, when you are the highest paid special teams coach in the league and you underperform, dude, you should be fired.
Well, do you think he was fired? Okay, so let's chime in on that for a second, because that, too, was one of the things that people were immediately asking, right? Because of the way it was phrased, because of the way it was put out there, it was like he's stepping down, but he's not retiring. And he's 65, so if he chose to retire, it would make perfect sense. Like, you know, sail off into the sunset, go hang out with your family, go do all the things that retired people do. But he's not retiring, based on the statement. Well, and this one line, Chu, I want to read it really quickly here before you tell me what you think about it. He said, I look forward to whatever is next for me and my family. I wish nothing but the best for everyone in the organization. Whatever is next? That line to me was like, whatever is next.
This is what drives me crazy. Okay? Because before I got into this business, I talked to Ron probably 8 to 10 years after, probably 6 years after he retired, probably 8 to 10 after I retired. And I asked him, we were at a dinner, and I said, why did you retire so young or get away from... He's like, because the people that don't know bleep and that were telling me to do were driving me nuts, okay? And I wasn't in this business yet. But a lack of transparency, what are we supposed to do, right? Instead of coming out and telling us, like, they could have very easily said, well, we decided to part ways. You know, except they give you this fluff BS and we have to try to put the pieces together. And I love Ron to death. But when you're not transparent about how many years LaFleur and his little buddies got for an extension with this, we're only left to speculate, right? We have to put the puzzle together.
Yeah, Jason says that all the time. When there's a lack of information, people are forced to fill in the blanks themselves.
Absolutely.
And that speculation can be dangerous. I'll tell you this, Chu, when you're talking about this, though, the 40 days between the last game of the season, when the Packers lost to the Bears in the playoffs, and yesterday is also odd. Is it not? I understand people wanting to reflect on the year, take a little time, right? We've dealt with this with Aaron Rodgers before, where it's like, I got to get away from it. I got to think about what I want. But now it puts the team behind the eight ball, doesn't it?
Based upon this statement, I would say, which is weird, like you said, Jen, that it took this long to have that discussion. LaFleur went to him and said, I'm going to remove your associate head coach tag, or I'm going to ask you to take a pay cut or something along those lines, where this to me seems a mutually parting of ways, which is why did it take 40 days? Because the coaching carousel is just about done. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah. But
now you're slim pickings.
Gabe's like, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
I mean, again, it doesn't matter who they hire. I mean, for this position, again, unless the Packers fundamentally change who they are as a franchise,
but
the special teams
game
coordinator doesn't matter. Chewy, they could hire you.
No,
all right, they could hire you, and it's going to be the same next year. I guess the reason why I don't think it's a firing is because of the way literally everybody who talked about Rich Bisaccia, who has access inside that building, right? We're talking about the guys like John Kuhn. We're talking about Goody. We're talking about LaFleur. We're talking, again, people who are around him, like, they did nothing but sing his praises. So
that's a nice guy.
No, but as
on that, actually,
great,
right?
Coach, great culture guy, big part of what we do around here.
So then what do you think happened?
I want to play the X-Files music. Give it to me, because I think this is what I'm hearing from Gabe. I think your great conspiracy about the Green Bay Packers is that Rich Bisaccia is a good coach, even great, maybe, if you listen to people around the league.
Yes.
And the Packers as an organization didn't prioritize special teams. So he was going out there year after year trying to make a gourmet meal with less than gourmet ingredients because the scouts and the GM was not giving him the pieces in order to have successful and elite special teams. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and then when the special teams fail, who gets the blame?
Bisaccia. So you're blaming LaFleur. Because I can tell you this.
Combination, I think, Chewy, I think it's a combination of LaFleur, a combination of Gutekunst. You know, guys that are making those. What do you mean, no?
I think you're wrong.
Like, Goody hasn't cared about special teams. Like,
as far
again,
as getting players? No, that's LaFleur. Because let me tell you what. All right, back when I played Holmgren, he made it a point to include special teams every time he was talking about a game. There's three phases of the game.
Yep.
There's offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, every
coach
does
special
that.
Teams is insecure.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he would have to build them up. But most teams, like when we played and special teams struggled, Holmgren would say, okay, I'm putting some starters on special teams, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
He did. So if they are not taking that same approach in the building, that's LaFleur's fault. That's 100% on LaFleur.
Well,
I'm not blaming Goody one bit because when you struggle from a stress special team standpoint, you're putting players who normally wouldn't be on those units to improve. And if he doesn't, then he's a moron.
Well, I mean, I think they did that, Chew, if you take a look at the... So they had a couple of kicks blocked early in the season. Then they did that, and that wasn't an issue on... like, because, again, misses are on McManus. Blocked kicks, chances are... I mean, if the operation was smooth, chances are that's you're making wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
On. And after those blocked kicks, I think they made some of those moves, and more starters were in there. Again, then now we're talking about the depth of the offensive line, which is another conversation we've had about how that's terrible. Again, it goes back to one guy there. But they really haven't invested in the return. Like, they haven't had a punt return or two in forever. That's not on LaFleur. That's not on Bisaccia. That's on Goody because they had Mecole Hardman. They could have done that. Take a look at what the Seahawks. Again, I don't want to – it's hard to year after year because there's so many different ways to win a Super Bowl. You look at the teams that got there last year, the teams that got there this year, it was different ways. But the Seahawks, without going and getting Rashid Shaheed, I don't know if they go to the Super Bowl because Shaheed had a huge punt return and a big comeback mm-hmm. that got them the number one seed. Huge kickoff return in their divisional round against the 49ers that just jump-started that team and led to a huge... like they haven't... I mean, they had Romeo Doubs back there returning punts because they just wanted somebody to be able to fair catch the football because they don't want to, for whatever reason... You guys had Desmond. You guys also, Chew, had wide receivers that got injured in 1996. Guess what Desmond did not do? He didn't play wide receiver.
Because he wasn't any good.
Yeah, but he was a really good returner.
Yeah.
And that was his position. The Packers haven't had that guy in God knows how long.
But if I'm LaFleur, and if that's the case, and Goody's not feeding me, then I'm putting Jaden Reed back there. So when Jaden Reed gets hurt returning a punt, you go, hey, Goody, what the hell you want me to do? How about you give me a returner?
Well, I do believe that at least at one point this season, they did put some veterans, some older players, some offensive and defensive players on these special teams units, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, they did. And this year, too, they couldn't put Jaden back there because, playing through a stress fracture
of his
in the foot.
Ilk. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Honestly, I thought that would have been a great spot for Matthew Golden, right? If you're not going to use him on offense, at least try to give him some special teams touches, see if he can break anything. They didn't do that either.
Well, wasn't it supposed to be Savion Williams?
For kick returns, but he's not a punt returner.
No, I know. It's just...
like, they haven't had one guy to do both jobs. Because even when Keyshawn was being first-team all-pro kick returner, he wasn't returning punts. Like, they haven't had one guy like you guys had, like Desmond Howard, Roel Preston,
and then
Alan
when Keyshawn
Rosso.
Became CB1, he was like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that was the other iteration of that. So this is an interesting philosophy. This is an interesting theory by our Gabe Neitzel. The issues on special teams, are they Rich Bisaccia's fault, or is it a sign of a more philosophical, systemic issue with the way that Green Bay builds its roster and then uses its players? I think there's something to that. I really do. I think Gabe is onto something here. And I wouldn't be surprised, my opinion here, if Rich Bisaccia was sick of it. If he was sick of it.
If he was the face of it and he wasn't getting what he thought he needed.
And catching all the fire and catching all the criticism and every year people calling for his job. Lost the words there. Swallowed them. I don't think that this is that far-fetched. 800-990-3776. Gabe makes an excellent point. What's more likely, that Rich Bisaccia, who is well-respected throughout the league, forgot how to coach all over the years, right? Because you can always argue that the first year, you're figuring things out. Oh, the second year takes a little bit of time. But by now, you would think that he would have been able to put his stamp on the special teams unit. Unless he isn't getting the weapons, he isn't getting the resources, he isn't getting the ingredients that he needs to make them formidable units. I want to know what you think out there. 800-990-3776. I think this has teeth. I think this has merit. Gabe Neitzel, bravo, good work.
Yeah, I try to do what I can. You know, you show up to work every day, too. You just try to grind away. Well, okay, come up with an angle then. Match me. Let's go toe-to-toe, big guy.
Okay. In your years that you played and you covered units, what did you think? I'm just saying, sometimes guys, and I don't, Rich Bisaccia sounds like a nice guy to me. You cut your teeth on special teams. Okay? And some guys didn't need to think they cut their teeth on special teams and they half-ass it. Well, that's the coach's responsibility to get it out of the guy. I played with guys like that. I've seen guys get fined for loafing. Okay? But Nolan Cromwell.
But you want to talk about loafing? Like, again, I think this is a bigger systemic issue than.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if we want to blame LaFleur, we can. If we want to blame Goody, I think it's everybody. Yeah, like, but, maybe Rich could have been a little bit better.
You heard me say this 1,000 times. Once you let the little stuff go, then you start letting the bigger stuff go.
Like, Chuck, he's been a coordinator since 2002. Do we think he forgot how to coach?
How were those units?
I mean, I think they were fantastic. I mean, the people that I've talked to, like when I do the national shows and I'd mention the Packers special teams are terrible, they're like, really? But Rich Bisaccia is their coordinator.
Yeah.
Because that's how well-respected he is as a coordinator around the league.
I've been around guys that sit there, I can't believe I'm playing special teams. I should be like the starting linebacker, you know?
Sure.
And that's the coach's responsibility to, you know. Nolan was a screamer, a yeller.
I've got a feeling, too, Chu, if somebody thought, when you played, when somebody thought that they should have been the starting linebacker and they weren't, and they actually probably weren't that good and pretty replaceable, what would Ron do?
Oh, he'd get rid of him. He'd get rid of him, you know? But and you know what's funny? Like, I don't know whether it's just me, but we had special teams guys that everyone knew.
That's what I've been
Travis
saying.
Travis Jervey, Jeff Thomas, and Timmy Houck.
Yes.
Guys that were like, all right, my time to shine, and they shined. Who shines on special teams for the Packers?
That's what I...
What's his name, the receiver, CB? That's one.
Bo Melton.
Bo Melton, right? We had, like, Lamont Hollenquist, another one. Great special teamers.
Yeah.
And people knew it. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, here, Desmond, here we go. Lamont,
well, I think
Travis, here we go. Now it's like...
And now Josh isn't here, so I always forget the guy's name. But
It's Will. Will is behind the glass.
Yeah, no,
that's my name.
Yeah, no, but
we're going to get to Will being an athlete later on in the show.
But Josh always remembers the name of the guy that, like, the one guy Rich got. He wore number 6, and he was a special teams guy, and then he got that personal foul penalty and then got cut. And I can't remember the guy's name. I always forget it. Josh always remembers it, and I can't remember who it is. I'm sure somebody's going to hit
it. Was it Levitt?
Dallin Levitt, yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm out of here.
Showmanship.
Go out on a high note. But that was like the one guy Rich got. It was pretty bad. 15-yard penalty. He got cut, and then it's like Rich never got another guy ever again.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling in. It is coming in fast and furious on the ESPN Milwaukee Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. You can also weigh in on the YouTube stream. Lots of folks talking. So now we're defending Bisaccia, Tim says. We've been hammering him for the last 3 years and begging LaFleur to fire him. He's out, and now we're defending him.
Again,
got it.
Again, you can do that. I have not been doing that, right? I hate it when people throw this. Yeah, there have been a lot of people doing that. I have not. Like, you can have your opinion. That's fine. If you think that Rich Bisaccia should be fired, that's fine. But I'm just trying to provide, like, what I've seen through the numbers. And then, again, a guy who's been a coordinator since 2002, I don't think he suddenly forgot how to coach. I think there's a bigger issue with Packers special teams. And it's been proven. Like, how many special teams coordinators have the Packers had? It wouldn't shock me if it was amongst the most in the NFL in the last 11, 12 years. It would not shock me if that was the case for this Packers team. And guess what? Nothing's changed. And it's been different head coaches, and it's been different coordinators. I just don't know if, as an organization, they care.
800-990-3776. Let us know. Taking calls, taking your responses, taking your texts all morning long on Rich Bisaccia stepping down as the special teams coordinator for your Green Bay Packers. More in a minute.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf & Associates, Keller Williams. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, and friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win, no matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today at wendorfteam.kw.com. That's wendorfteam.kw.com. Taking your reaction all morning long to the Rich Bisaccia news that he has stepped down from the special teams coordinator for your Green Bay Packers. Reaction rolling in. People have a lot to say this morning about Rich Bisaccia. When is the last time we had a true special teams player, says Justin in Jacksonville? Can't remember, but other teams have core special teamers. I've been saying for years, I never understood all the In Goody We Trust fans. He continually has been a day late and a dollar short in multiple areas when it comes to managing this roster, and it largely goes unscathed only until recently, that from Jaws in Milwaukee. If we didn't give him the talent needed, why would we pay him above average? Isn't he supposed to raise the level of play with the guys he has? If we bring in more talent, then any special teams coach could get it done. That from Kevin in the 317. Do you agree with that assessment?
Bill Belichick stunk with the Cleveland Browns, right? Then we got him good players. He became one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. Right? There's only so much you can do if you literally don't care about something. He can raise it only to a certain level. And again, I think the two things the Packers told Rich Bisaccia, again, I have no way to prove this, but I think they told him, hey, we care about the coverage units, don't really care about the return units, as evidenced by Romeo Doubs just basically going back there and fair catching punts. Right? They just didn't seem to care about that. So, and their coverage units were good. By any measure, whatever, you know, wherever you're going to take a look, DVOA or, again, Rick Goslin, former NFL writer, puts together his special teams rankings. Packers coverage units were good on those rankings. Everything else is what dragged them down. And if they don't care about returns, there's only so much any special teams coordinator can do. I don't think, again, I don't care who the special teams coordinator is. That's my main point, because I don't think it's going to change. I think the Packers are still going to have special teams issues next year until they decide as an organization it's something that they want to care about.
What were they ranked last year?
Overall, in the Rick Goslin rankings, they were 20th.
Yeah, that's just not acceptable.
They were fourth. Fourth in punt coverage, 28th in punt returns, 11th in kickoff coverage, 21st in kickoff returns, and 23rd in field goal percentage.
I mean, do you guys think it's important?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
They don't call it three phases for nothing.
No, I know. I just, it's not, I'd
two
be
and
blown
a half
away.
Phases.
I'd be blown away if they didn't. If they didn't care.
How else, you know, am I supposed to interpret it, Chu? Because again, it's been going on for, the last time they had a punt return for a touchdown was 2014.
Yeah.
Like, it's been going on forever. They had the special teams blunder in that NFC Championship game. They fired the special teams coordinator, didn't really change anything in 15. And they even had a guy that they really liked in Jeff Janis. Like, you want to that might be the last time everyone, oh yeah, Jeff Janis, great special teams guy.
It looks like, Chu, it was back in October of 2025. Justice Mosqueda, again, who was reporting that LaFleur and company did have some of their starters out there on special teams. He tweeted about Elgton Jenkins being out there on field goal protection with the rest of the offensive line. So at some point, Gabe, this past year, they did pivot and try to put some of those starters out there on special teams, recognizing maybe the lack of either talent or production in the guys they had been using.
Because the Browns and Cowboys game, they had field goals blocked. After that, they didn't. And
so
the missed kicks are on.
What are we saying it could possibly be? Could possibly be a mutual parting of ways. It could be a firing. It could be Bisaccia's fed up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, what are the other possibilities? Well, since they're not giving us anything.
I was about to say, Chewy, the literally, it could be anything.
Performance?
The statements, it could be. I mean, and that could be leading to the firing. I mean, the two statements released by both Bisaccia and the Packers are just so vague. I think it leaves the door open for just about anything.
Yeah.
Because again, to Jen's point that she made earlier, if he was just retiring, he would say he's retiring, but he's stepping down, which again, because it's a coaching contract, I usually those assistant coach contracts, Chew, and you can correct me, they're usually 2 or 3 years is the way they typically do those.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's got a year or two left on the current deal. He was the coordinator for 4 years.
But I guarantee he's probably the only special teams coordinator that is also an associate head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Associate head coach, I don't understand, because that is there just to protect good coaches from taking other jobs. That's why that tag was created.
Yeah, but I don't know if everybody necessarily uses that way. I think sometimes they just use it as a promotional tool, too, to justify giving somebody the type of money.
Yeah, but why are you promoting a guy who's...
Well, no, just to justify... I think it was a tag, too, to help justify the whatever salary he was making as the highest paid special teams guy.
But I go back to, Jen, what you originally said. If it was a mutual parting of ways, why did it take a month? Why did it take a month?
Well, and I do see a lot of reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream where people are insistent, or at least have convinced themselves, that this was not a mutual parting of ways, that this was a firing, which, to be perfectly honest with you, I think
would also be troubling.
That it occurred now as opposed to earlier in
For a number of different reasons.
In the process.
Firing, you still get paid. If you quit, you don't get paid. I believe.
Maybe that's the distinction. Maybe there was a heart-to-heart conversation, and it was, this is what's best for the organization.
Yeah, but if you're stepping away, I'm sure Rich has probably enough money, you know, to live comfortably in retirement, but...
You're still not walking away from
$3 million is $3 million, man. I'm not going, hey, out of the goodness of my heart, I'm just going to leave that on the table.
I mean, they still owe me per diem, I think, and I want that back.
Jonathan weighing in, saying, me and my buddies literally threw a party last night when they announced that Rich Bisaccia was stepping down. 800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction this morning. And do you buy what Gabe is selling, which is that this goes beyond Rich Bisaccia, that these might be systemic organizational issues with regards to how they view the value of special teams? Let us know. 800-990-3776. We got to take a break. We got to get to Adam Schefter. He's coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN. Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
On a Wendorf Wednesday, we are thrilled to be joined by Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Well, Josh has got the day off, huh? That's nice for him.
Oh, yeah. He's in New Orleans. Soaking up the... Did we just lose Adam? He just dropped from the stream. God bless America.
Maybe because Josh isn't here. He's Josh's biggest fan. He's like, well, if Josh isn't here, deuces. I don't have to be here.
Adam Schefter was like, I don't want to hang out with these people. I only want to hang out with Joshy. Are we efforting to get Adam Schefter back? All right. First things first, here's what I'm going to ask Adam Schefter. How important is special teams to an NFL team's success? Feel like he might have some insight into that. Then I want to know, what do the pool of candidates look like as far as special teams go? Adam Schefter should have his thumb on that as well. We've been taking reaction all morning long to the news about Rich Bisaccia stepping down. Lee in the 262 has a theory. He says Rich is headed to Miami. Stepping down was the easiest way to transition to that staff.
If he's still under contract, him stepping down, that contract is still...
You're back.
Yeah, that contract would still be in place. So, like, he wouldn't just be able to go coach anywhere he wants.
Do we have any idea how many years he has left on the contract?
No idea.
In a shocking development.
I mean, again, usually, again, Adam probably knows more than most. Adam, most assistant coach contracts are 2 or 3 years, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So
correct.
He was the coach for 4 years. Maybe, again, who knows? Could be one or two.
Well, let's start here, Adam. What was your reaction when you saw that Rich Bisaccia, special teams coordinator and associate head coach for the Green Bay Packers, was stepping down when it was announced last night?
Yeah, well, he had thought about doing it last year, apparently. And so he does it this year. I know that people, he felt like he failed Matt LaFleur last year. Obviously, there were some special teams issues this year, more special teams. So if he felt like he failed him last year, he certainly probably felt maybe a similar way this year. And look, I think we've seen it across the league with a lot of guys, veteran coaches this offseason. You see some of the ages of these coaches. It feels like it's getting younger all the time. And the game is changing. Some of the older coaches, Jeff Stoutland. How old is Rich Bisaccia, by the way?
65.
Okay. Jeff Stoutland, 62 or 63, stepped away. Vic Fangio thought about it doing 68. Like, he's in the range where in your 60s, it's a hard job. Like, you know, do you want to do it or not? And obviously he thought about whether he wanted to do it last year. And he stayed on. And he goes now. What were you saying, Chewy?
A special teams coach, that's not easy. Because you think all the units you have to be in charge of, it's not like coaching tight ends. You know? You got kickoff return, you got punt return, you got all this stuff, and you got to be creative. So I could see that. I mean, how quickly you think he moves on, though? Because he said he's not retiring.
Yeah. Look, sometimes coaches, sometimes they take a year and kind of recharge the battery. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you were talking about his contract, whether he did or didn't have time left. You know, I'm sure money's not a major issue right now for him at this stage of his career. He's done pretty well over time, and he'll work again, make more money. Money's going up on these coaches, so that's not an issue. And he still is a good coach, no matter what, you know, no matter what people in Green Bay think. They may not like him and like all the results, but he's a good coach. You can't argue that. So there'll be more work for him. There'll be more money for him. And sometimes, you know, if you're doing that right now, stepping aside and late February, my guess would be, I mean, either you have something else, which I doubt, or you're taking the year off, and then you come back next year, and he'll be hired right away.
So,
next year.
And it is Adam Schefter is joined. We talk to Adam Schefter every Wednesday. It's brought to you by Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, Keller Williams helps people make their own big moves every day. Trust and knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. So, with it happening this late, what are the Packers' options right now? Their assistant was hired away to be the special teams coordinator in Cleveland. So happening this late in the game when a lot of the coaches have been hired and we're getting kind of toward the end of the coaching carousel, I know some staffs have to be filled out, but what options do the Packers have looking for special teams coordinators?
Well, that's the part that I found unusual, that the assistant left as well earlier in the offseason. I don't have the answers. Honestly, I didn't make calls in their special teams last night. But like, if they knew he was leaving, why'd they let their assistant coach go? And if they let the assistant coach go, then why did they not make sure that he was staying? Like, there are some unanswered questions that I can't answer for you this morning that you just wonder about in my own mind. But I will say this, that February 18th, 19th? I don't
18th.
Even know the date.
18th.
18th. February 18th. It's not like you can't go find a coach on February 18th. You know, if your coach quits on May 18th, you go find somebody. It's not ideal, but you go do it. You know, these staffs have found their ways, but it could get done, and it will get done, and they'll find a special teams coach and go make it happen.
40 days after the Packers lost to the Bears, it is an unusual time for there to be a coaching change.
That's the part that strikes me, Jen. Like, you know, this guy was going to step down. Why did it take this long? Like that's my question. If I were me, like, what happened here? Why now? Like, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah gets fired, you know, a month after. Why a month later? Like, I had heard that could happen, you know. Like, okay, but why did we wait that long? What's the deal? So anyway, that's the situation.
And I do think there is some concern for Packers fans, or at least there should be after they get over the glee, apparently, of Rich Bisaccia stepping down.
I don't get that, but okay. I don't get that.
Yeah, there's
okay.
a lot. Yep. There's and again, look at them. The units have underperformed, right? We rattled off the numbers earlier as far as ranked 20th, ranked. They've always been in the bottom 10 as far as special yep. teams go for the last 4 years. So I understand that there is frustration from the fan base, and it is warranted. But Rich Bisaccia, as the coordinator, obviously has taken the brunt of that criticism. Here's what I will say. Very recently, Brian Gutekunst and company have lauded, have praised, have heaped praise on Rich Bisaccia, even going so far as to saying he is a big culture guy, that he contributes to the culture in Green Bay. Yeah. With his absence now, where does culture come from? You've been around a lot of teams, you've been around a lot of coaches, GMs, all of that type of stuff. Where does culture generally come from?
I think that's a big ambiguous question.
It's what I do, Adam. Trying to just open ended, man.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a simple black and white answer for that question, Jen. I would say culture comes initially from ownership, and that's a different culture. I think it comes from the mood that the assistant coach or the head coach sets with his assistant coaches. I think it comes from the leaders in the locker room. Like, you can get culture from a lot of places. And the best culture is always around winning teams, shockingly, right? When you win, I always hear about how good the culture is. Like, and then when you don't win, the culture is not as good. Like, winning, you know, where does culture come from? Winning, first and foremost. Now, how do you get to winning? Now we're back to the point of having good owners and a good head coach and good players. But it's amazing how strong the culture is when you're winning. And I think Jonathan Gannon is the defensive coordinator replacement for Jeff Hafley. He'll bring some of his own culture. And whoever they hire as a special teams coordinator, he'll bring some more culture and player changes that they make this year. They'll bring in some guys. They dress. There'll be more culture. The culture is always being adjusted and moving around. So it's not Chewy, as a player, where does culture come from? I want to hear what a former player says about that.
Well, I can tell you that player culture doesn't come from coaches, because every time they came into a locker room, you kind of felt uncomfortable. And it's kind of like a parent going into a 13-year-old boy's bedroom. They're like, get out of here. I don't want you in here. They don't want any part of it. So That was kind of confusing, because I'm with you, Adam.
What about a veteran preference? Because you guys had a lot of veterans, too.
Yeah, we did have. Yeah, but still, it's like, I didn't want my dad in my bedroom when I was 14 years old.
Yes, we got that. That's been covered.
You have your own showers. Go shower in there, coaches. Don't come over by us. So I don't know, but that I think was a really weird response from Goody and the organization. Like, I don't know. I'm with Adam. It's just hard to explain, and that's the problem with not being transparent as a team. Why can't they just say maybe they were going to remove the associate head coach tag and give it to Gannon, and he didn't like that. So who the hell knows?
Smart 18, the union for Wisconsin's sheet metal workers. If you want to earn more and build a real career in the trades, this is where it starts. Better pay, incredible benefits, real training, real representation. This isn't just a job. It's a future. Learn more. Smart18.work. And to that culture point, Adam, the Packers, again, under Brian Gutekunst, in this iteration of the Packers since they made the transition to Jordan Love at quarterback, they've been the youngest team in the NFL each of the last three seasons to try to improve that culture. Do they have to bring in more veterans?
Well, by the way, that's a culture, too. You know, it's a culture that you decide to have, make a conscientious decision. And at some point in time, some of these players up and you have to keep them around so that you're not the youngest team in the league and you're a little bit more seasoned and a little bit more experienced, and maybe that this will be the year for that as well. Sure, they could use some. Look, they're still searching for ways to get to the next level. They haven't found it yet, whatever that is. If that's acquiring some veterans in free agent, going out and getting an experienced voice, an experienced player in the room, then they got to go do that. But clearly they got to find what has been missing there the last few years.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, I want to turn to the Combine, which is next week in Indianapolis. I assume you will be there because you are always there. From a Packer standpoint, we are well aware that, like, it's Brian Gutekunst's show. Coaches don't even go at this point. What do you make of the way that Brian Gutekunst and company have addressed the Combine? It's his show. He's going to go. He's going to talk to the candidates. He's going to talk to the athletes. He and his scouting team are going to be. Is that pretty standard now in the NFL? That's how teams are handling the Combine?
I think it's becoming more and more standard where teams stay away from the Combine. Like, as an example, the Jaguars this year, okay? Their coaches aren't going. Their front office isn't going. The scouts and medical people are going. Okay. The Rams never send their coaches. Every organization approaches differently. And I think we're going to see more and more of teams sending just their medical staffs and their scouts. I think that's the future of this. I know front offices go, and it's really the unofficial start to the offseason where there begin to be meetings with agents about players they want to keep and then flirting about players who could be free agents. I know the tampering period doesn't begin till Monday, March 9th, but let's be real, you know, that those conversations are already ongoing. So the Combine has evolved, and I just think it's going to be going to a place over time to where more and more people, more and more teams will be sending fewer and fewer people to the Combine. The people that have to be there are the medical people, and I would say, you know, some of the top scouts. You know, Goody, at his heart, is a scout. That's in his DNA. And so he wants to be there. That's what he knows. Just like most GMs want to be there, but not every GM.
Adam, has it been devalued?
No, it's just evolved. It's not devalued, okay. Chewy. It's evolved over time. And, you know, it's just how it is. Like, the Combine is its own animal. And it wouldn't surprise me over time, like, if all of a sudden they're just broadcasting it. By the way, I don't even know how that works now with ESPN and NFL Network now. Like, so is the Combine on ESPN here or NFL Network? And, like, I don't even know how that works. And like, a lot of these teams, they like to just watch it. Like, there are some GMs I know that they're there for a day or two to take a couple of meetings. They go back, and then they watch the Combine on TV because they don't want to be in Indianapolis for a week doing work when there are things that they need to get done around the office.
All right, Adam, I know your Pick'em League doesn't start until the players, but this is always a big week on the PGA Tour.
It starts the Arnold Palmer.
Palmer.
A change this year.
Okay.
When is that? Is that next week?
No. I think next week is the used to be the Honda. So whatever they're calling the one at PGA National. And then I believe it's the week after that, and then we get to the players. So this week, though, Adam, it's Riv. It's Riviera. It's one of the biggest weeks on PGA Tour.
Yeah. You're
going to be watching, paying attention, doing some scouting for your Pick'em League?
I'm watching golf. I love doing that. Like, in the off season, this found time on Sundays. We're sitting around. It's cold on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched some golf this weekend. Yes,
you making some notes. Yeah, making some notes about who you want to take early, who's looking good.
I love that. I know Jen does too.
Huge fan. Can't wait. Trying to get to the Masters this year, Adam. Pitched a little feature waiting to get it greenlit.
Oh, you've never been, Jen?
Never been.
Well, maybe you should show a little more enthusiasm during these Adam Schefter golf segments, and maybe that'll help.
If my enthusiasm level during the Adam Schefter golf segments had anything to do with me getting to the Masters, I would. But those two things have literally nothing to do with one another. Yes, Adam, very excited at the possibility of going to the Masters for the first time. So we are going to keep our fingers crossed there. Adam, we really appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. I'm very much looking forward to seeing your reports from the Combine. I know it's a big exchange of information. You touch and base with a lot of people, a lot of touch points, and always seems to be a blast. I know it's a grind. I know it's a lot of work, just like Super Bowl week, right? Up early, staying up late.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Not a problem.
You got a great gig. I don't stay up late. I don't go to the parties.
Not for me. But I will be next week when we talk, I'll be from Indianapolis. Yes, that'll be happy.
Awesome. Adam Schefter is so great. Joins us each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Our conversations with Adam Schefter brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN. Smart 18.
When I say this, I don't say it lightly. But wow, were we way off on why the Major League Baseball Players Association commissioner, right? And is he the commissioner? No, he's the, what's the?
He is the MLBPA executive, was the MLBPA executive director.
Tony Clark had to step down, not a stepping down right now, from his role.
A little more clarity on why he stepped down.
I thought it was financial impropriety, well, right? I thought he was skimming off the top sort of thing, you know.
And because the MLBPA is under federal investigation for those things.
Yeah.
Which I think it's a fair leap to make. Okay, this investigation's been going on for a while. He obviously got caught up in it. This is going to ultimately fall on him, so he needs to step away.
I was just trying to follow the bouncing ball. You know what I mean, Chu? Follow the bouncing ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we were way off.
He was bouncing something else.
Something was bouncing. Well, actually, we might be going too far on that because they didn't really dive into the level of inappropriate relationship. But
we've been there.
I mean, if you need to step down, I think we've got an idea of the level of relationship.
So he was having an inappropriate relationship with his sister-in-law, who apparently is also employed by, is it the MLBPA as well?
Yeah, she was hired by the union in 2023.
Yeesh.
Did he hire her?
You know, there's not a lot of information, if we're being honest. Like,
I mean, would I be shocked if he had a hand in her being hired?
Whoa, all right. Handsy and whatnot. We got to be real delicate with the language here. And Gabe is nervous about this, but I do want to throw this out there to the loyal
listeners.
No,
you should not do that.
Why? This is
It's just so off-brand.
What do you mean
you should
off-brand?
Just do not
stop.
Do that.
Come on.
Don't do
stop
that.
Stop being a LaFleur.
You should not be
tell
doing
the story.
That.
Well, I want to know.
There's
if it's
no
worse.
Story.
If it's,
no, no,
if it's
don't.
A sister, why is this bad, Gabe?
Because
why is this bad?
Okay, again, we represent the brand. All right.
I'm just wondering which is worse.
Okay,
if
no,
it's
no, no.
Your
no we represent the brand. No, we represent the brand.
I just want to know what's worse.
We represent the brand, and again, that brand is ESPN. Would you be having this conversation if, again, on national television? Probably shouldn't have
if
it on the
Saban
local radio.
Says ass on game day. I feel like that ship has sailed.
I think that's a little different than talking about what you want to bring up.
I already said it. I just don't know which is worse. You know, because on one hand, you got a relationship with your brother. On the other hand, you have a wife, you know, like, but look, we know that both are wrong. Okay. But I'm inclined to believe that the brother is worse because he's your brother. You got the relationship. You don't have to weigh in on this. Gabe is abstaining from this conversation. He wants to
if you were smart,
record.
You would too.
Here's a life vest, Jen.
As abstaining from this conversation. Well, either way, it's bad.
How's the weather
news
back
bears.
There?
Exactly. Exactly.
Saying, it's your brother, for goodness sakes. Like, that feels worse. You know?
Does it really matter if it was his wife's sister, though? It couldn't it just be anybody?
That says sister-in-law. That's the only information we have.
Well, that news is an inappropriate relationship.
Inappropriate relationship with his sister-in-law.
What's up next?
Cowards. Bunch of cowards. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Stick around.